The Canvas Board met yesterday and certified the results of last week's municipal election. City Clerk Lori Sika says the board added 9 absentee by mail ballots that came in over the weekend and were postmarked by the October 4th deadline. Newly elected Juneau Assembly members Randy Wanamaker, Jesse Keel, and Carlton Smith will be sworn in Monday at the Assembly's next regular meeting. Sally Sadler and Sean O'Brien will be sworn in to the school board at its next meeting, which is currently scheduled for October 18th. Alaska's redistricting plan has won approval from the U.S. Justice Department, an important hurdle that must be cleared before the plan can be implemented. Under federal voting rights law, the plan cannot weaken the ability of the Alaska Native community to elect candidates of their choosing. The redistricting board needed at least 9 districts in which an Alaska Native or Native-backed candidate was likely to be elected to maintain the seats held by those candidates after the 2000 redistricting. The Justice Department, which needed to ensure the plan's compliance with the Federal Voting Rights Act, gave its pre-approval yesterday. The redistricting board's executive director, Taylor Bickford, called it a significant milestone. The plan still faces a challenge in state court and must be upheld before it can be implemented. Prosecutors have filed their response motions in a case centering on 3 Arkansas teenagers accused of murdering a young Juneau man, but it's unclear when the judge will consider the motions or next hold a hearing in the case. 16-year-old Timothy Tyler Norwood, 16-year-old Clinton LaVon Ross, and 17-year-old Richard Shelby Wybark have each been charged with second-degree murder. They're accused of beating 19-year-old Kevin Thornton to death in July in the Malvern area. Attorneys for the boys say the cases should be split up and proceedings should be either continue in juvenile court or be dismissed. In a series of responses filed late Monday, Deputy Hot Spring County Prosecuting Attorney Richard Garrett argued against severing the cases between the 3 remaining defendants. He points to Arkansas state rules governing severance, such as whether there are conflicting defenses or antagonistic defendants, or whether the evidence favors one defendant more than another. A new standard is whether the judge or a jury may be unable to distinguish the evidence between each offense and defendant. Garrett believes that the case does not meet those rules. In another set of duplicated response motions, Garrett also argued against dismissal or transfer of the teenagers to juvenile court and maintained that the prosecution is still constitutional under Arkansas law. In part, he argues that the prosecution of the 3 teenagers as adults is still valid because of the seriousness of the alleged crime, its aggressive or violent nature against a person, and the culpability of the defendant. Garrett also writes that the constitutionality of the question statute has already been determined by Arkansas courts, with the policy earlier laid down by the legislature. Hot Spring County court officials say the next hearing in the case has not been scheduled yet. The Alaska Division of Elections has rejected a recall application for Ketchikan State Representative Kyle Johansson. District 1 Republicans, who launched the recall effort in May, plan to meet to decide whether to appeal. Deanna Garrison has the story.
In a decision handed down on Monday, Division of Elections Director Gail Finumiai said the recall application was denied.
We reviewed the application thoroughly in consultation with the Department of Law and concluded that the application failed to state a legally sufficient ground for recall on the basis of incompetence or neglect of duties. The recall application centered around Representative Johansson's alleged forfeiture of his leadership position in the House during a caucus meeting and his failure to meet with and be available to his constituents. The summary contained no information or allegation that Representative Johansson engaged in any unlawful conduct, which is a legal standard for certifying a recall application.
According to state statute, an elected official may be recalled for 1 of 4 grounds: lack of fitness, incompetence, neglect of duties, and/or corruption. The recall application filed in August cited incompetence and neglect of duties as the 2 primary reasons for the recall. District 1 Republican Chair Dick Koos was one of the recall application sponsors.
Naturally, we're not happy with what the law department did, and quite frankly, I read the 21 pages, and I can't believe all the gobbledygook in there, but that's lawyers for you.
Application sponsors had collected 594 signatures, 63 more than required to file the recall application with the state. Vanumiai says recall sponsors can appeal the Division of Elections decision.
They can file an action in Superior Court within 30 days of the date on which I gave them notice of my determination. And if they did file something in court and the court said the state was correct, then Representative Johansson could not be recalled from office based on this current application. But if the court reversed the division's action, then such a decision would allow the recall committee to do the next step of the recall process, which would be actually going out and gathering more signatures.
Petition sponsors have until November 9th to file the legal appeal. Goose says he plans to call a meeting of District 1 Republicans to discuss whether to proceed with an appeal.
We'll be getting together within the next week and deciding just what we're going to do, and I don't know what that'll be yet.
Goose says the meeting will be open to the general public. Representative Johansson declined to be interviewed for this story. However, in a written statement, Johansson says he was thankful the state found the recall application lacked, quote, any grounds for removal. He says he realizes he has work to do with a number of District 1 constituents who supported the recall. Johansson says he will continue to communicate, work hard for his district, and move ahead on issues. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
The former employee of Alaska Native Corporation EACTEC, who's accused of bribery and money laundering, appeared in federal court yesterday in Washington, D.C. Harold Babb's attorney is trying to get him released on bond before he goes to trial, but Magistrate Deborah Robinson says she'll decide that next week. First, Babb's lawyer will get to review government evidence, including tapes that prosecutors say show Babb engaging in illegal activities. Babb was arrested October 4th and accused of scheming with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers employees to steal $20 million from government contracts by padding invoices. Prosecutors also alleged they were planning to steer a huge $700 million contract to a favored company. The government wants to detain Babb. Prosecutors argued that he's a flight risk because he's traveled internationally recently and might have hidden money stashed somewhere. U.S. Attorney Michael Atkinson says they have Babb caught on video and audio tapes getting in a car with a government cooperator, accepting cash and talking about what he'd done illegally to earn it, as well as other illegal acts he planned to commit. The price of Alaska North Slope crude for West Coast delivery rose about a half a dollar yesterday. It starts trading this morning at $110.46 a barrel. Gold is up nearly $20 in New York spot market trading, currently at $1,682.80 an ounce. Silver up 44 cents, currently at $32.58 an ounce.